You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hope you're having a great weekend. This is our Week in Review. It's a look back at some of the most compelling and interesting stories that we've been covering for you of the past week. Brand new episodes back again Monday. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
That it is, and we are talking today with one of my favorite guests. Great way to start the week. Robin Drake is with us, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. And we're digging into the daybells and making some observations on the testimony that we've seen throughout last week. Many witnesses coming to the stand telling various accounts about Lori Vallow Daybell. Robin, I'm just going to open it up to you. What has stood out to you thus far?
I think as of right now, and I'll just say that right now, because I mean, just I remember talking about this with you months ago, and my optic on it is really evolved as we've learned more, like you said. And one, we really emphasized her total lack of effect when confronted. Like, the big bombshell that happened last week was her son Colby. Yes. Got on the stand, and he was really going at her. And they played the tapes of him talking to her in jail, and basically he accused her of killing his siblings and really went at her about saying, how can Jesus forgive you for the things you've done? I mean, he was dropping some major truth bombs on her. Mm-hmm. And she kept deflecting, and it didn't really, she had no effect. She gave a chuckle at one point. And she's, that seems to be her mode. She gives a chuckle, but then, man, she recollects herself very rapidly and goes back into lie mode. I mean, it's really pretty profound. And what I really sensed from this entire thing, because I had someone else to say that, you know, what's she doing for a job? You know, why can't she just get a normal job like everyone else? Because she seems to be following people and killing people off to get their insurance money and get their, like when the children were getting money that she killed because they're getting money from the state because they lost their parents, their yeah. fathers. It was really interesting to me because, no, this is her job. Her job is the leader of a cult. And her job is to collect insurance money on people. So that's what she views her job as. This is a business to her. And that's what cults are. It's a business enterprise. And that's what I completely see this as now.
It's a business enterprise, but does, from the outside looking in, operationally, we can see, oh, this is exactly what she's doing. She doesn't have a job. When she needs money, she's telling people that she's hearing these voices and they have zombies and they need to go, and she collects insurance money. But yep. does she... Is she functionally aware that that is what she is doing, that she's killing people off to collect insurance money? Or is she truly believing, I mean, is her conscience telling her these people need to go because they have demons, not these people need to go because you need more money? I guess what is the thing I'm trying to figure out here is what's her mind actually telling her and what is she actually believing in these processes?
Yeah, as we know, I'm not a licensed psychologist on this one, yeah. but I will say I think it's all linked together. You know, I looked at her background, I looked at how she grew up, and she did grow up from the in the church, and it her optic on the world seems to evolve to make this happen this way. Yeah, it's so I use the analogy today. She is in a pond, and she's a fish in a pond, and she's the queen fish in this pond. And when you're living in the pond, there is no movement of the water. So the water gets stagnant and it starts getting disease in it. And also, when you're a fish living in a pond, you don't realize there's another world outside the pond. There's nothing beyond the borders of that pond. And so that's what I think she's really done to herself. She's really felt very safe in this environment because she's created this entire fictitious, weird cult world around her that she feels completely safe to maneuver in. That's why, and she is a pathological liar that just, whether she has to lie or not, just lies, just rolls off her tongue. I mean, she was telling everyone for the longest time that her former husband, Charles, died of a heart attack. Meanwhile, yeah. her brother's the one that shot him. I mean, just, and there was no reason to even lie about it. So it was really, it's just, she's just woven this amazingly insulated world around her that she felt completely safe in. Crazy.
Is that like a survival tactic or instinct at this point, where if she were to come out of that way of thinking, out of her lies, out of everything that she's woven, and face the cold, harsh reality of what it is that she's done? I mean, that's a lot to take on, especially if you've never processed any of these things all the way through, and now it's just this giant heap of wrong. I'm wondering if she is, you know, anytime it kind of gets close to that of her facing reality, she can't take it. I think we almost saw that on Tuesday of the first week, where she didn't want to go back into the courtroom because they were showing the images of her decomposed children, and that seemingly did something to her, where she said it was very hard to see that. But I don't know if anything else is going to crack her as this continues.
You know, Tony, it's an interesting word you use there, survival. It's interesting because when we think of survival mode, we think of people with empathy that have to create things in their lives and behaviors in their lives to deal with the trauma that they're facing.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge with that, though, is when you're, and again, I don't know the clinical diagnosis of her, but she's got a lot of signs of psychopathy, high signs of psychopathy. Mm-hmm. And there's a long, lengthy test you have to go through to prove it and demonstrate it. And so I don't have that. But if she is edging up really high in psychopathy, survival mode's not part of their makeup. It's just not something. And it's the hard part for people like you and me that have empathy and don't have high level psychopathy. We keep trying to place our own understanding of human behavior on them.
Yeah.
And just doesn't cognate the same way. I don't think she's in survival mode whatsoever, because her behaviors are just who she is. It's not her coping with trauma in her life. It's trauma she's causing around her. She is inflicting, you know, her son Colby even said it on the stands in the tape recordings. He even said to her, "Do you understand the devastation of all the things on all the people's lives around you?" She can't cognate that, because when you lack total empathy or total understanding of seeing the world through someone else's optic, because you are so highly self-centered, How can you go in survival mode? Because you just think this is the world. There is no other world to her. So I'd be curious as whether she's even processing any of this stuff. I think it just deflects off her brain. I think her brain just automatically disregards it. Maybe,
like, maybe it's not as complex of a way of thinking as us on the outside think it is.
I totally agree.
Because it's like, how could someone do something or act like this? Like this, because
it's her job.
It's how they act.
She got to a point where she's in the Church of Latter-day Saints, and then she meets a few people. She keeps adding to this cult narrative. And if you read Robert Greene's book, The 48 Laws of Power, chapter 27 is How to Form a Cult. This is 100% the five steps of forming a cult. This is exactly what she's done right from the book. It's crazy.
Wow. It's funny with people like this sometimes when she's a rare one, certainly. But sometimes when you're dealing with individuals with these sorts of personality disorders and such, it does almost feel like they all went to the same convention at some point.
Yeah, they did. And it's sad, but very true. It's also interesting because some people, the psychopathy will come out and where they just bilk people out of millions of dollars. In other words, what would be... I'm glad she's going to be put away. I mean, there's no doubt she's going to go away. It's just too overwhelming. Everything, like, every day is just an overwhelming day of she's going to jail for a long time, if not forever. People like this, if they don't go down the murder route and they just go out down the route of bilking people out of their money, then take advantage of them because they're predators. Because this is what you were dealing with. We're dealing with a pure 100% predator. This is a lion that only sees everyone around them as sheep, 100%. And what would happen in cases like this, if they weren't caught for murder or put in jail for tax evasion or fraud or something like that, they would move on to the next scheme. These people are schemers to take advantage of others. So it'd be interesting, because I've actually seen other cases on the espionage side where they would bilk people out of millions of dollars in one area, then start another scheme the next week and doing something else.
It's just all they know how to do and what, and it's that's their that's their motor. That's their only way to go.
Because once you run out of, and this is what it was looking like, once you've run out of the income that you've, and the all the predatory behaviors in this one area, and it, you've exhausted it and squeezed it dry, you're going to create another one.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Thank you for joining us and giving us your insight. Always appreciated. If you like the podcast, you want an ad-free version of it when you press subscribe, well, do that on Apple Podcasts and get the premium options, which means no ads. You can just binge away from episode to episode all you want, commercial free. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can find me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.